Welcome to Truest Blood, the official True Blood podcast.
I'm Kristen Bauer.
And I'm Deborah Ann Wohl.
And you've been invited in. I want to do bad things with you.
On Truest Blood. Welcome back to Truest Blood, where we sink our fangs into the series bite by bite.
We're very excited to be talking to Britt Morgan today. She is a lovely human being, and her work as Debbie Pelt still sends chills down my spine.
Oh, we'll talk about her experience bringing the troubled werewolf to life and what it's like working with animal co-stars.
I know. I can't wait to talk to her. She's our first werewolf.
She's our first werewolf. And she had these incredible fight scenes and such an incredible arc on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, and for such a wild, you know, character on the show, her, like, actual personality is just the most inviting.
The most inviting, genuine, lovely, funny, sweet person. It's going to be good. But first, let's have a quick bite.
One season in the life of Sookie Stackhouse. As we know, Sookie has been through a lot these past three seasons. We thought it might be time to tally the numbers, see what the data tells us. So let's break out those calculators for Stackhouse Stats.
Season three takes place over just 9 days. For some context, season one was 16 days plus 2 weeks, and season two was also 9 days, starting this season at day 39.
So Bill's proposal comes in at 39 days into their young relationship. But when you know after 5.5 weeks of dating, you just know.
However, Bill and Sookie break up just 2 days after the proposal, then again 5 days after the proposal, and a third time at the end of the season, 9 days after the proposal, making a grand total of 7 breakups in the almost 7 weeks since they've known each other.
Sookie also kills Lorena this season, which ups her total kill count to 2, but her overall encounters with death returns to par, starting with 5 in season 1 to a scant 2 in season 2 and back up to a respectable 4 deaths in season 3.
Surprisingly, Sookie spends only 3 days in Mississippi, in which she gets a makeover, goes to a werewolf party, is kidnapped by a vampire king, reunites with her best friend, saves her boyfriend, kills his ex, and ends up in a coma.
She spends less than 10 hours in said coma, as far as we can calculate, which might be the most uninterrupted sleep she's gotten since the beginning of the series. And the final 3 days of this season, she is easily up for at least 72 hours straight.
Maybe she's just born with it, or maybe it's the vampire blood. Today, we are talking to Britt Morgan, who is a powerhouse of an actor. She's been on so many wonderful shows in iconic roles, Riverdale, The Boys, Supergirl, Graceland, The Middleman. She is also a producer and a director.
Yes. And her portrayal as the werewolf Debbie Pelt is fierce and vulnerable. It's brave and subtle. It's physically intense, and it's also deeply romantic. It just spans the gamut.
It does. And sadly for us, she was on the series for 2 full seasons. I never worked with her. Deb barely worked with her. And we both just want her to be our friend because she is so wonderfully authentic. So enjoy this interview.
Hi, Britt. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy to see your faces.
We've been seeing your face.
That's
because
wild.
We've been watching the show.
We have. We've been seeing your face all over.
Oh my gosh. That's cool. Do you watch the full episodes? You're watching the full thing. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. We're through season 4.
Yeah.
So we've had 2 wild seasons of Debbie Pelt. Just the greatest.
God,
it's
wild.
So much fun.
Yeah.
We're going to.
Yeah. You're representing the werewolves. We haven't had a werewolf on yet. We've had a shapeshifter.
Oh my God.
So we're going to get some of the inside werewolf scoop from you, hopefully.
Oh my gosh. I would be honored to be your first werewolf representative. I was just thinking about the whole thing yesterday, like getting in the zone, and it was so cool how they had the real wolf hybrids. Like they weren't husky, like they weren't any kind of dog. They were real wolves that we used. That was cool.
Yes.
Well, I can't wait to hear all about that. But we generally like to start, because everyone has a story. How did you get the job? What was your casting experience like?
Oh my gosh. Yes. So this whole thing was a flat out miracle for me. Like I was 22.
I was going to say, we were young.
Yeah, I was super, right? We were young. So this was like beyond a big break. Like I can't even, the whole thing was like just an actual dream come true. So I had one series under my belt on ABC Family, but I hadn't worked in about a year. So I got this series. It only lasted for a season. It got canceled, and I hadn't worked for about a year. And it was the good old fashioned casting. I got a call back, and it's coming back to me. You know, it's been a second, but I got the producer session, or was the producer session the original? I don't remember, but either way, Alan Ball was in the room, and I dropped all my lines. And I was there. I was in it, but I get nerves. Yeah. Nerves is a thing for me, you know. And I dropped so many lines, and I was like, it was still good enough to be okay, but it wasn't clean, and you know. And I remember leaving, being like, well, you know, what can you do? And I got a call back, and my manager said, listen, he says, you're one of the top few.
Wow.
And you just got to clean it up. And then I got to go back again. And at this point, the competition was very steep, because I had almost no credits. I'm 22. Everyone's like, who is this person? But I cleaned it. Somehow I got that job.
Wow.
Yeah.
But what a great story. Cause I think of,
I'm going to cry already, Deb.
I know. Oh, poor Kristen. We just tip her over the edge every time.
Same.
But I struggle with nerves too. And I think, you know, I hope other actors out there are listening and hear that story and go like, look, even Britt Morgan drops lines and still gets the job. Like,
oh my gosh.
It isn't a reflection of your talent or your ability or your career or anything like that. It happens. And, you know, I'm so happy you shared that.
Oh, me too.
I feel it's a reflection on Alan too, because he would show up at the first auditions, right? Yeah. He didn't let other people, usually you go to other producers or casting directors and then the big guy shows up at the very end. He was there at the beginning and then he saw in you, she can inhabit this character. Mm-hmm. And then he had you come back. I had a similar thing with him. I didn't drop my lines or anything. I was the same in both auditions, but he wanted to see me twice.
Yeah.
And I think that that is very unique.
Yeah.
And we love Alan.
Oh my God. I think it's incredibly unique. Whenever I'm talking to like actors at all and they're getting discouraged on the industry, I remind them that Alan Balls exist. And that it's not all politics.
Yeah.
That there's an artist out there who creates shows that is actually looking for the best actor and will take a chance on you. And he's an artist. Yeah. Like he sees the artist in you. I'm sure everyone comes on here and gushes about him, but he changed. And he's amazing.
He's amazing. Yeah,
and I always think about that with casting directors as well. You know, like casting directors can get villainized sometimes and all that. But every casting director or the majority of casting directors that I've met with, worked with, are fantastic. They see talent.
Oh, yes.
They care about hard work. They champion you. So even when maybe you're not right or it doesn't go for one project, they bring you back for another. And that's one of the things I'm really sad about having lost with the pandemic and self-taping, is that casting director-actor relationship, because that can make a huge difference in your career.
I couldn't agree more with that, Deb. Could not agree more.
Massive. What a bummer that we are not going into rooms anymore.
Well, I agree. I'm like, am I the only one who feels like something's lost a bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there's advantages to doing it at home, too, but
there is.
But I don't think there are enough to offset literally that one.
No.
Right? Like, literally just a casting director getting to know you and care about you and your career is, that is too big to give up. For any of the potential quote-unquote convenience of taping from home, at least for me. I mean, I like being able to tape on the road. That's nice.
Yes.
But,
yes.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to Junie and Libby.
Yeah.
We don't talk about a lot because they didn't want to come on the podcast.
they were too shy.
Oh, no.
They were too shy. They were like, what would we talk about? And we're like, everything.
Also, their personality is so great. Like, how could they would steal the show? I mean, they're amazing.
It'd be our best episode. It would be. Forget Alexander Skarsgård.
Forget it. Seriously.
Junie and Libby are unbelievable, responsible for half of my career. And when you look at how we would have 45 speaking roles an episode, and it was this cadre, I don't even know the word, of this troop of actors that they had accumulated over the years that they would call on for all these shows. And once you were in, you were in. I mean, I read for them forever. So big shout out.
Gosh,
so then
man,
you get
huge.
The job, and you had your character.
Oh, my God.
Such, you got to show all the colors. I mean, she was
just challenge after challenge.
Crazy.
My God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Addiction. Like Deb came in with her
animal. You know, the animalistic, that piece of it.
Yeah.
These relationships. I mean, wow.
Yeah. It was wild. I remember, you know, I was still a young actor. I didn't go to college. Right. So I studied a ton. I was in different acting schools in LA, like religiously, but I was still figuring out like what my technique was. And I think because I was so young, I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll be method and I'll stay in this for 2 years.
Wow.
Like Daniel Day-Lewis. Like that's what I thought.
But at 22,
like,
you can do that experiment.
Yes,
right?
Totally. You can, because I don't have kids. I don't have a family. Like,
why not?
I have no boyfriend. Like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll do that.
Alone in my house, I'll pretend to be anything for, you know, like, whatever.
Exactly. My dad was like, you don't talk to me anymore. I'm like, Debbie doesn't talk to her dad. So I'm just kidding. It was just so intense. But that being said, I was at AA meetings all the time. I was really, leaned into the addiction thing. I really
it's
wanted
huge.
To know. I mean, yeah, it's huge. It felt even bigger than the wolf thing. I felt like, well, maybe it wasn't, but to me, that was something I could grab onto in a really deep way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching that show Intervention constantly, which I gotta be honest, as an actor, never, don't knock YouTube.
Yeah.
You can find so many incredible stories and immerse yourself in people's like vlogs. Yeah. And I just remember really going so full into that. And if I could go back and do it again, I think I just would have trusted myself a little more. I think I worked myself to death trying to like really inhabit it because I was 22.
Yeah.
But and the wolf thing, I don't remember if I did any animal work, but I think I did.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, because there's something, I mean, that speaks to me because watching your performance, there's a, dangerous in the good way, like, what is she gonna do next kind of quality. And I remember people who worked with you on the show praising you for exactly that they were like, every take, there's this energy that just explodes off of her. And you're like, what's gonna happen? Which is what Debbie feels like. I'm not pro or con any kind of actor process, but it clearly did something for you in this particular show.
Thanks. I'm so glad it worked. I kind of threw everything in the pot. I'm glad it worked. It felt, I spent most of the time terrified, which I think is what part of like that energy was. I was so, in a way that I don't even know, being so young, I didn't have like a root or a sense of like love in my life. I didn't have, this was everything. Yeah. at that time, mm-hmm. just going and doing like a good job. I think I was so scared that I was able to use, mm-hmm. she's so scared. Yeah. So I think I was able mm-hmm. to use my fear as kind of her yeah. fear. And I, you know how that
nerves
is with acting.
Are
it sort of ends up being, nerves yeah. are freaking, fear and nerves.
Nerves are helpful.
When you're, yeah. are so helpful. I don't know, that's another thing I lose with self-tapes. Yeah. Is I think so, it's so comfortable. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's too yeah. comfortable. And even when I'm playing a character that should not be nervous yeah. at all, and I have those nerves, at least there's something brewing underneath that
it translates
is the battery.
Into something. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
It translates.
Yeah. It's so, I yeah, love hearing yeah. that's your experience too, yeah. completely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that adrenaline is really useful. It reminds me of a funny thing that my husband would say when we'd be watching tennis. I love to watch tennis. And there's a couple of some of the world's greatest players. Nadal is the one I'm thinking of. But he has all this stuff. He has a ritual he has to do before every time he serves. And he's got to bounce the ball so many times. I mean, it's OCD land. And then he can't step on the lines. And he's got to touch his head in different places. And it's quite a show. And my husband said, it's only weird if it doesn't work. Yeah, so he so does weird. All this stuff. And then no one can return the ball. And you yeah. go, oh. So it's only weird if it doesn't work. It worked. Everything that you did worked. It was a fabulous yeah. synchronicity.
It really was.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's so sweet. That's wonderful to hear. Yeah.
So
if it works.
Let's talk about late nights, blood, and actual hybrid wolves and what that experience
gosh.
Is like. Because again, as a young actor, first big job coming into this, it must be like every, you know, that. I mean, that's the thing I always say about True Blood is it was such a great primer as a young actor because once I finished that show, I had done everything to some extent, yes. right? I'd worked totally. With kids. I'd worked mm-hmm. with animals. I'd done blood, prosthetics, stunts, mm-hmm. aerial.
Yeah, totally,
like you just do
totally.
Everything in a little bit. So nothing really was totally could throw me. So I feel yeah. like for you, like episode one.
No, totally. Episode. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about episode one. All I had done yeah. was an ABC Family show and scenes in acting class. And I was like, oh, there's 4,000 bikers. And I guess I'll be in my underwear and get crowd surfed. That's fine.
No problem.
I can't wait. Let's do it. I can't wait. Oh, my God. And the extras were so authentic.
Yes.
They were like in real gang. Mm-hmm. Like they had been in biker gangs. I don't know where. Extras casting was brilliant for this show.
They were so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just from that, I think that first day on set was that biker bar, the getting branded, and that set the tone for the next
wow.
2 years for sure.
Wow.
It was so crazy.
Yeah, Deb
yeah.
had that too.
Yeah,
a big
scene start.
Was her being made,
yeah.
a big start,
right.
you know, night shoot.
Not like, you know, an easy, like, two-hander.
No, there's no easy
no.
two-hander for your first time. Yeah.
Throw you into
so
the fire.
It's so wild. Yeah. I remember looking at you so much, Deb, because you were my age
yeah.
and being like, oh, I wonder how she's doing.
We never got to work together, really.
We never worked together.
We were the
yeah,
kids.
So
we were
funny.
Like the True
we
Blood
were the kid,
teenagers.
Yeah. Totally, yeah.
We were just like, oh we
gosh.
Get to be here? Cool.
Cool, yeah, sure.
It's like
feasible, yeah.
the junior high schoolers at prom. You know, it's
oh,
like,
that's what it felt like.
Felt very like, I don't belong, but I'm excited
oh,
to be in the corner drinking
totally.
The punch, you know?
That's exactly what it felt like.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
On some level that I don't belong, because I was like 20, I'm 20 years older than you two, and there, you know, so I was
you had
coming
a big
from
resume,
a
too, already.
Oh, you were so, I was like,
I
this
did.
Lady, this is insane. This woman's amazing.
I knew of you, you know,
yes.
like, yeah.
But
yeah.
what's funny is that I don't belong thing mm. is a river mm-hmm. that just runs in us, because it was still running in me the entire run yeah. of the show. Just, you know, it became a joke where Bucky would like to pretend that I was getting killed off. And
oh,
I think I fell
God.
For it about 76 times, you know, because it's just, I think it was Dennis actually at the table read, you know, Dennis O'Hare, for God's
oh,
sakes,
yeah,
at the
right.
table read, he sat next to me and I think he said, I wonder who's getting fired. I'm sure it's going to be me. So I just think that we always, to some degree, as actors, I was just thinking as you were telling your story, Britt, that I was like, oh my God, I love actors. Yeah. I love actors. Yeah. You know, your first night, you're like, I'm in my underwear. I've come from ABC Family Show, and I'm going to get branded, and I'm an addict on V, yeah. and like,
and a werewolf.
Okay.
And my ex is here.
And I'm a wolf.
I know. And my boyfriend is Joe yeah. Manganiello, where yeah. I'm like, wow, you're beautiful. I'm trying to be cool. Oh my God. I mean, just like, it was all just so big. Yeah. Like, it was so exaggerated.
Yeah.
yeah.
So big. Yeah. It was so
yeah,
big.
So big.
And what did you know about the arc of what your character was going to be? Did you know anything at that time?
I did. I think as soon as I got the job, I went on a big deep dive yep. with the book. So I knew she died
oh,
in the book.
Okay. Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure. Yeah, yeah, she dies in the book. And then so I kind of assumed that was where it was going, but I didn't know they were going to give me so much cool stuff. Yeah, yeah, they gave me what I didn't anticipate was the getting clean in season four. That was so, what a gift yeah. as a young actor to get to do that. Like. Yeah, that was really cool.
Oh my gosh. That was so yeah. cool that you got to show that other side. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It yeah. was cool because I was deep in the, you know, I made the fatal mistake of reading reviews after the first yeah. season, you know, message boards yes. and things.
Young
which I will never.
Beware.
Yeah. Actors Beware, don't ever, yeah. ever do it, ever. And I haven't done it
don't
since
do it.
Because it was a dark yeah. moment. But after the first season, there was so much like they only saw the villain in her. Mm. And I was kind of, and that's not the fault of the writers at all. That's just what people do. They sometimes mm-hmm. want to box a yeah. character or a woman yeah. in. So when I got yeah. to do this other side in season four, it felt like this wonderful justice yeah. for the character that I got to kind of reclaim her. I know this sounds like so actory and intense, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Reclaim that kind of yeah. innocence yeah. and the goodness that is mm-hmm. within everyone.
Well, it
so it was cool they gave her so much color.
It's a real, there's tragedy to it then as it
yes,
goes through.
Exactly.
And ultimately it isn't just a bad guy getting, you know,
yes.
what they deserve. Or like there's
yes.
real tragedy and loss in it, which yeah. is so much more poignant and such more interesting storytelling. And what I think is amazing, and you know, I'm gonna correct you a little bit in saying that the people who felt that way about Debbie Pelt are the people who don't see deeply into character and then go write about it on the internet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's so true.
You know,
it's the regular. Yes,
you know,
yes,
in
yes,
rewatching
yes.
it now, yeah. that vulnerability is so clear in her all through season three.
Oh,
it,
wow.
I do. Yeah. It does not feel just villainous or one-dimensional in the least.
Oh, so bad.
It definitely feels present. And then that's the great thing, too, is then it flips, I think, in season two, mm-hmm. or your season two, in season four, which is where now we're seeing the clean and sober, vulnerable Debbie, but brewing under there is the wild child. So you just did such a perfect job of, like the sand glass, you know, hourglass of Debbie Pelt. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm very impressed.
That's the best compliment. And that is the best compliment ever. Thank you so much. I'm holding that to my heart. I'm giving it to my 23-year-old self.
Because
that is like,
she deserves it.
So amazing. Thank you, Deb. Honestly,
well,
that's cool. I'm glad that came through.
I want to jump into talking about the wolves because that was
yes.
the only time we were like on set together is this one night where there was a big
yeah.
storm with the wolves on Sookie's
yeah.
house. And here's what I remember, the story I remember, and I'd love you to tell it from your perspective and
yeah.
tell us a little bit about then your relationship with these beautiful animals and how that worked
yeah.
on the series. But you were doing a scene where you had to kick down the front door, the two wolves
yeah.
would run past you into the house
yeah.
and you
yeah.
entered. And they did
yeah.
like one or two takes, and then the animal handler came up and said, okay, that we're done now, because the
yeah.
energy coming off of you was exciting the wolves in the way that it was supposed to, I suppose. And one of them had snapped like a little bit near your hand, and the handler would say, that's it. These wolves, they're too excited. They need to take a break, you know, like in care for not only obviously you, but them as well. We don't want any of the participants in the scene to get. So that was such a fascinating moment to, one, see how effective your acting was, that even an animal in the scene that didn't know we were acting was, you know, moved by it, and really the reality of what that is.
Yeah, I remember the that whole thing. Yeah. I can't believe you remember that well. Yeah, I was like, that really happened, right? Yeah. The wolf almost bit my hand. Yeah, yeah, it was a big moment. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of woke me up to the fact that these are real wolves. Yeah. And I was just so in the make-believe of it all. I think I wasn't even scared. Yeah. And I think after that moment, I was a little more just aware that we're real people, we're alive, I'm Brit, and this is a real wolf. You know, I think I was just so focused on the scene. This is not method. Okay, so exactly. Right. Thank you for bringing that. This is not method. Yeah. Exactly, that this is not, I'm not, like, I was so in it. If I was now, if this was 36-year-old, I would, this whole thing would be different. I'd be like, is that a real wolf? Okay, so this is interesting. Like, I would be more aware. But at that time, I was just so on, my adrenaline was like crazy, which is why the wolf felt it.
Yeah.
Felt it, literally. And I remember that, I remember feeling some kind of way about that. I was like, oh, I might be too intense for the wolf. Jesus. Like, maybe I need to dial it back a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, I wish I could give you more insights. But again, it's like that adrenaline was rushing so much. I don't even remember what I was feeling, except a little more scared once I found out it almost bit my hand. Mm. Yeah.
And speaking of adrenaline, Anna Paquin said that she had the best time doing her action sequences or fights with you. Yeah. She was just for days like, that was amazing. Yeah. So how was that to work with the Anna Paquin to come into those scenes with her and then to do the physical stuff too?
Yeah, that actually might have been why I wasn't that focused on the wolves, because I remember having to do the fight scene maybe the next day or like right around there. I think I was just so somewhere else that I was like, I guess it's a wolf. Okay. But that was one of the highlights of the whole show for me, that fight scene with her and working with her, period. I mean, she just was so supportive, so older sister with me. It made it. It made the whole thing. It gave me, it made me feel like it made me feel like I belonged. Yeah. It made me feel like I had a place. It gave me confidence. It was everything. If she was more removed or kind of not really, I think it would have just been, I don't know, it just added warmth to the experience for me. And that fight scene was unique. And I've played many villains since True Blood and done many fight scenes, but nothing compares to the amount of time they took. There was a full-on choreography. We got days to learn the choreography for that fight scene. And we shot it over 2 days. Yeah. There was no rushing it. I mean, I'm sure it was rushed as TV always is rushed, but they took their time. Yeah. Our stunt doubles were like won Emmys, I think. Wow. They're so insane. But doing that fight scene was just like, it was amazing. I remember learning that choreography, being like, I can't believe we got to do so much.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with fight scenes, right? Especially, I mean, you guys were two supers. So for the vampires, you know, we didn't get to do the fight scenes really because I would grab someone and throw them 30 feet. Right? So like, that's not going to be a person. But if you basically have human strength, you guys both had a little extra, you have to do most of it. So that's interesting. Yes, I wonder how many days that took to shoot and how unique that is for a TV show to take that many days to shoot a fight scene. So you were just like, you must have gone home, and how did you get to sleep at night knowing you were—
I did not sleep at night. I was just doing all the punches and the twirls. Yeah. Like, I was doing it all day. I mean, it was so much fun. Yeah. It was epic. And
it takes a while to come down. I can just picture, because you had all the fear, so you had all the adrenaline. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was interesting watching Debbie Pelt in season 3, speaking of those, you know, very vocal minorities that talk against us on message boards. And I fell for it once too, because Moyer said, don't go to the message boards. So yeah. It was the first thing I did that night. And then was like,
oh no.
Yeah, he was right. But I did feel ultimately that I was rooting for Debbie. Like, you weren't just someone who I'm like, please someone kill her. You know, so all of that fear, that adrenaline, you must have, every night after work, I don't know how long it took to get to sleep, because that's, we can't just turn ourselves on and off.
No, we can't. I don't remember turning off. Yes, yes. It's living in me at that point. And the heartbreak of her and her vulnerabilities, it all was really, it was really present for most of the time shooting. It never, I think I tried to develop a practice for turning it off, but it was hard. Yeah.
Hard. And it's interesting then in the second season, I keep saying second season, your second season in the fourth season. You know, the reestablishment of the relationship with Alcide and what that was, what does it mean to trust again? What does it mean? All of that. It's just an interesting, because, I'll be the bad person on the internet that says he's a bad boyfriend to you that season.
He's a bad boyfriend.
Yes. But yeah, because totally. You were the one boyfriend. Who had, quote unquote, screwed up before, it's like you're not allowed to say that. I don't know. I saw so much truth in that, and I could see so many real life couples dealing with that same kind of situation. And I don't know, again, for True Blood, for all of its supernatural popcorn eating, you know, fun, there's always that beautiful kernel of grounded reality. And I, again, as you said, I was so happy to see that for you and for Debbie in that story. So, yeah, can you remember a little how that shifted for you? And now that it was the other side of about recovery, what did that bring out for you in your work?
I think it was the other side of recovery that, and kind of still grappling with the shame of who she had been before, but also I think playing with this whole thing with how she felt about Sookie and like letting that be, it's so crazy. I'm actually tearing up. Yeah. Like, this is how much like these things remain with us because if you work with them, but like,
yes.
That, you know, but that like idea that like this girl's perfect. Yeah. Like, I think that's what Debbie really thought. That's why she had so much vitriol towards her, right? Like, this girl is not me. I am a piece of trash. I'm shameful. I'm, you know, all these ideas that we carry that will make her want to, drink V. But I feel like kind of like comparing herself to Sookie and sort of playing with that, I think. And ultimately trying to befriend her. Mm. I'm pretty sure that that happened in the later part of season four. I sat down. I'm like,
You try.
She tried. She genuinely tried. You know what, Deb? Just playing on that edge of genuinely trying and how vulnerable that is. She didn't get it right completely. Ultimately, obviously, Debbie does not get it, you know, totally right. But just the vulnerability in trying to make amends and grappling with these edges and the jealousy. And that's so tender because jealousy just comes from a tremendous amount of pain. So it was really, it was like very deep shadow work. That's what the whole entire thing was like with me playing Debbie. It was hard not to have it blend into my own things, you know, because it just gets, you know what I mean? Being like, where does this live in me? It has to, right? Chris, I love talking to actors, guys. I'm like enjoying this. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Because I think in order to walk into an audition room. But then once you get the role, I mean, you have that one moment of elation and then the fear comes back in where you're like, oh my God, now I have to do it over and over again on a set. And then you've got to walk into a set where there are 50 people intimately staring at you. And then, you know, there's the directors and the producers that you admire. And then there's what your mind knows about how huge the show is. And all to be able to step onto that court, you have to go for it and be actory and methody and whatever you got to do this ridiculously insane thing. Like, there are times when I think, It's insane, literally insane, that people want our autograph and want to get a picture with us. And there's other times when I think, damn straight, because, you know, this is not normal.
Right, Morgan was Debbie Pelt for 2 years.
Exactly.
Yes.
She hadn't talked to her dad so that you could enjoy True Blood.
I didn't talk to my dad, okay? Exactly.
But you could enjoy your TV show.
My acting teacher used to say to me, they give Oscars to people when we can feel that it cost them to play this role.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that there is, it's just, you got to do what you got to do. It's only weird if it doesn't work. But I love that. All of that we could see in your performance. And it's why you were hired, and Alan Ball could see that, and because he's a genius as well. So,
and why you continue to be hired and continue to
Thank
work.
You guys.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Coming from you two, like, I'm almost like kind of like out of body right now that it's you two saying this. Because if I could go back in time and be like, Britt, 10 years from now, Deb and Kristen are going to tell you everything you want to know. Just, it's going all right. Like, it just
stay
means
off the
so
message
much
boards.
You guys, stay off the message boards, Deb and freaking Kristen. Like, it's you both just, I can't tell you how much it means.
Well, I remember
it's awesome.
That, you know, I think Rutina was also dealing with some of that at the time. We're dealing with all of that, because I think for a lot of us, you know, Alan did the unimaginable thing and hired a lot of unknowns. Like, yes, he had Anna Paquin, but really... Mm-hmm. Beyond that, a lot of us were none of us are household names, and a lot of us hadn't done a ton.
Right.
And so, you know, we were all kind of grappling with this new visibility. And I remember, I don't know who I was talking with, but, you know, we were all talking about this thing. And someone said, like, look, you know, down here at the bottom is internet troll who doesn't think you're pretty enough, right? up here, up towards the sun and the moon, is Alan Ball, right?
Oh my God.
Who thinks that you deserve to be on the show and deserve to get this great material and is so excited every time they put together an episode. And they're like, you know, like, why are we measuring those two people at the same
time? So
you know, with the same credence, you know? Everyone's obviously entitled to their opinion, but at the end of the day, for our self-worth, doesn't the person who is making the show, who has this experience, who has this artistry, shouldn't their opinion matter more, at least to us personally? So I try to hold on to that whenever my inner demons
That's
have come calling.
Very, very, very good point. And, you know, I had a question for you because I saw an Instagram, my internet stalked you.
Oh, yes. And, I'm honored.
And I saw one of your posts, you were talking about doing a play. You did Chekhov in Love.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, this play was such a transformative experience. It felt challenging and risky and inspiring. I reconnected with something essential inside myself. Yeah. And it was a lot of fucking fun.
Did I say that? Yes, I did.
What is that? Connecting with that essential thing that keeps us doing this ridiculous, impossible, incredible profession. For you, what is that?
I haven't done a ton of theater, which is why I think was one of the reasons I was so moved by my experience of doing it. I've worked on a lot of plays in classes, but not a full run, you know? I think that sometimes it happens on set. I think True Blood's one of those special experiences where you can get that feeling. But it's like when the material and the everything collide and I'm no longer in my own way. And I can feel really wide. It's like this wide, expansive, like you're the moon and trying to explain it's a kind of ethereal because that's what it feels like there's just something flowing through you and that there is no longer, and it's not all the time. And I think as artists, we want this all the time. Yeah. It's like, what is it called? Being in the flow or it's like channeling or something.
Yes.
And we want it and it happens sometimes. But I think the essential thing inside myself was just this pure love, this unconditional love. Everything I needed was a couple performances, not all of them, but you know, a couple times, yeah. Just everything I needed was available to me in the moment. It's coming through. It feels like channeling, and I'm no longer in my own way. It's like becoming your little self, as like self with a little s to yourself with a big s. Yeah. It's like the truth with a lowercase t to truth with a uppercase t. Yeah. It's like acting with a capital A. It's like bigger. It's like something becomes wide and limitless. Yeah. That's all I can explain. And we all have done it.
Yeah.
It happens sometimes, but when it happens in theater, it's like holy.
And I think it's more likely in theater just because of the amount of time you're given with material. Yes. It's just easier to get there when things are part of you rather than like, oh, I got this 3 days ago. And, you know, there's something to that. But I had an acting teacher who their metaphor was this. There's something called the Ionian harp. And it's essentially a harp that's built on the top of a mountain. And the wind plays the harp. Nobody plays the harp. The wind goes through the strings and it vibrates them. And they said, your job as an artist is to work towards being the harp. So you just sort of exist as exactly who you are in full presence and acceptance of everything that you have to offer and let it pass through you. And I was like, oh my God.
Wait, that's literally it.
Right?
Oh my God. That's literally
the Ionian harp.
It's keeping that channel open. Yeah.
That's really, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
So much work to get there. Yep.
Right? Oh my gosh, so much
work to get
there.
A lot of work to get there.
Right. Yeah. That's so true.
Stand still on the top of a mountain is really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
You gotta climb, it's so true. You gotta research all the things.
Yes, totally, exactly.
And then you let it go, and then every once in a while, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, we started with your casting. Before we wrap it up, I'd love to ask about leaving the show and knowing that you were going to be killed off, if that's the, I guess, impolite way to say it, and how you deal with that experience and what that last night on set is like, you know, what you can share about that.
I remember being, you know, there's a version of this where it could have been like, well, I'm graduating college and now I'm going to go off to other things. Right. But in my heart, I knew this was special. And I knew that these shows do not come around every day. I knew. Yeah. So I was sad. and I knew it was coming and I knew I was going to die. And Alan told me in the beginning of the season that this was how it was going to end. And I knew it. And I was really sad and I so grateful and there was so much love on set. I think I ended it by killing Rutina or something. It was some wild, dark thing I did. Shooting her, right? Not killing her, right? Shooting her, wild, dark thing. I think I was so sad and also simultaneously, I think a little relieved. I think I needed a break from the pressure.
Sure.
As just a kiddo, I was, you know what I mean? I was like, okay. But ultimately, I was so sad. And I remember just it being nothing but love and being like on to the next. But I knew there was only going to be one true love. I was saying goodbye to like the most special experience. Mm. I still sad it's over. It's awesome.
I know. Yeah. I know. Well, look at us. We're doing a podcast talking about how special it was.
I know, exactly.
It's so awesome. Weird to miss fiction. Like,
isn't it so,
like I talk to Steve Moyer from time to time, but like I never get to talk to Bill Compton any longer, right? Like my daddy's gone. And I miss my daddy, you know?
Like, I miss my daddy.
I will never get to do that. And he was a really real person for me, despite the fact that he was fictional. And I had really strong feelings for him. And he's just gone. And it would be too weird to ask Stephen Moyer to
be my daddy. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I won't do that.
So I got to talk to my actual daddy again after leaving the show. So there's that.
You got your dad back.
I got my dad back.
I lost a daddy.
No, but that's so sweet. I love that. Oh, my gosh.
But it's true. It is weird how much fictional stories inhabit us, you know? And I think even non-actors can relate to that, right? Like, we all cry at the end of Forrest Gump. We know it's not real.
Oh, yeah.
But we all do.
Yeah.
Because
right.
we recognize yeah. something right. in it. So we all have that capacity. And I think, you know, good actors at least are attempting to reach that place of authenticity that comes across. And it is a lot of work.
Oh, wow, guys.
Well, Kristen, do you want to bring us home?
Yeah, I'll bring us home with two things.
Great.
One light and one, you know, a little more heartfelt. So when I was internet stalking you, I typed in your name and I went to IMDb and I'm looking through your resume and I'm seeing Throbin Hood, Nightmare on Porn Street, oh. One Wife to Give, Pornocchio.
What about Britney Spears? Yeah, Pornocchio is the best one. Yeah.
Pornocchio. And I was like, I don't think that something's wrong. Yeah. And it took me a while to figure out that I had misspelled your name. So there is another Britt Morgan spelled slightly differently.
Yes.
Who's a porn customer. As I saw you won an award, I actually realized she won an award. And I clicked on what it was for. And it was for like Flint Bones. And I'm like, wait, what? I had a good 4 minutes of like an alternate reality before I realized
Britt's career really went a different direction.
I'm like, wow, this is bizarre. I haven't been in touch with her, but she's got a lot of credits. She's done like 80 movies.
A girl's got to make a buck, Kristen. Please do not. I decided to go into porn.
Costuming.
So I came out Britt Morgan with two T's, and then someone said, wow, you know, I went to go meet an agent and they went, you have quite the resume.
Oh my God.
And I was like, and they were like, you know,
oh my God.
Britney, yeah. They said Pornocchio, Britney Spears. I was like, okay. I didn't do those movies and I realized I had to drop a T.
Yes. Yes.
So I did drop a T. Yeah.
We wondered. That's maybe why.
We wondered. Yeah. We wondered.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Not that there's anything wrong with the adult film industry, but it wasn't, I was 18, right? We can't start off with I got to start off with one. We got to do one T.
Right.
So.
Right. Yes. You got to do one T. Yeah.
You got to do one T. One T.
Yeah. That was a good move.
Good move.
So we ask everyone, when you think of your experience on True Blood, what are three words that come to mind?
I would say miracle,
sure.
Up-leveling, or challenging, and expansive. That's what I would say.
I know, right? That's three words.
Dream come true. Honestly, three words.
Oh, it's been so fascinating to see the sentiment from across so many people.
Oh, yeah.
Where the words are slightly unique to each person, but imparting the same
content. Kristen, I was going to say the exact same thing.
It's
uncanny. And almost everyone points to it as like a pivotal, like in the true meaning of the word, moment in their career, that something shifted in their artistry, in their job, in some way with this work. So
Well, chills.
Thank you so much, Britt.
We loved connecting with you.
Such a fun hour.
I love you. This was so beautiful. I loved it
so
too.
Beautiful. Thank you.
That was really fun, fulfilling, guys. I love you both. Thank you so much.
Yeah, love you so much. Thank you for coming on. I had this chance in person meeting
a few weeks ago.
I hope we can do it again.
Yeah.
The great thing about this podcast has been meeting just so many like-minded artists, whether they designed the set or the costumes or wrote or directed or acted, how many people are just putting their heart and soul into this and get geeky about it with us. So thanks
really
for getting
special.
Geeky.
Thank you. I know we did geek out. I loved it. Thank
really
you for
geeky
that.
And I loved it.
I feel at home. I love it. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, Deb, we're
like
both
her so
aglow.
Much.
I mean, we're aglow.
We were just
I like
saying,
her so much.
We were like, I'm going to text her before you text her. So now we're going to fight over Britt Morgan.
Yeah, we're going to fight over who gets to be her friend.
I mean, I think she's just a really special presence and energy. And it makes me like, you know, she talked about jealousy in her role. Yes. I'm jealous I didn't get to work with her on the show, you know, like experience that at the time. And
yeah,
especially I think totally. For both of us at that age, it would have been an interesting bonding for us. But we'll do it now. So it's going to be good.
I know. I'm aglow with this podcast that I get to connect with these people. And it's so deep I can't even put it in a wrap-up statement when I'm feeling at the moment. You know, in some point in the interview, she said, I've just left my body. And then after the interview and you said, let's get together and do theater, she goes, okay, I'm dead. I have those feelings as well right now.
Me too. You know, just the...
Yeah, that was great
what
fun.
What a special
that was great
experience
fun.
The show was, and now revisiting it and getting to know people in a different light and wanting more, right? Like every single one of these interviews leaves me wanting more. And
totally.
This interview with Britt has just absolutely clarified that, because it's all I'm feeling. I just want more Britt.
Yes. I know. I want more. It's connection, right? We were all there together.
Next week on Truest Blood, we're jumping into season 4 of the series, and we are sitting down with one of my personal heroes. He's been a mentor for me in many ways, Scott Winant. Anytime someone asks me about my favorite directors, he is always top of that list.
He is. I mean, try to name a show that he hasn't directed. It's impossible.
We do.
And he has literally more Emmys than I could count, because he has produced, created, and directed so many massive, iconic shows. Like, there's too many to list. Deadwood, My So-Called Life, 30-something he created. You just got to tune in.
So thanks for listening, Troopies. Subscribe and follow wherever you listen to your podcasts, and we'll see you next week.
Y'all come back now, you hear.
Truest Blood is produced by Safe Haven for HBO. Executive producers are Janina Gavankar, Kristen Bauer, and Deborah Ann Wool. Our producer is Gabrielle Galan, and our audio producer is Christopher Wool. Our theme song was recorded just for this podcast by Jace Everett. Additional music was composed by Timo Chen. And remember, you can watch all of the original episodes of True Blood on Max.